And Erica Betts is the Minister for Employment and the leader of the government in the Senate. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Erica Betts, it's your job to shepherd the government's agenda through the Senate. Have you dumped the plan to legislate the $7 GP co-payment?
The government's policy on the GP co-payment remains. It's a policy that Bob Hawke championed. It's a policy that Labor's own Assistant Treasurer, Dr. Andrew Lee, has championed. Those in the policy space know it's good policy, it's right policy. The problem is, does the Labor Party have the political will to actually do that which they know is necessary and good for our medical system, so that we can get this medical research fund up, which will be just such a boost for our medical researchers, but for future generations, not only of Australians, but right around the world.
Bob Hawke dumped the GP co-payment. Andrew Lee has certainly dumped the GP co-payment. Have you dumped the GP co-payment?
Our policy remains, but both Bob Hawke and Dr. Andrew Lee, in coming up with that policy and supporting it, know that it's good policy. Is it difficult? Of course it is.
Is it impossible?
I'm not going to say that anything is possible or impossible. It is good policy. It is our policy. It remains to be seen whether we can get it through the Parliament. Well, we have a full legislative agenda as we speak for the last, five sitting days of the Parliament, which includes the reforms to the higher education sector, and they are important reforms.
So not this year, but next year?
We won't get ahead of ourselves in relation to the government's agenda, but the GP co-payment remains our policy.
Will the government try to move to pass its plans for the deregulation of university fees?
That is part of our agenda, and we have indicated that we would like to see that resolved before the end of the year, and so we are working through that as we speak with the crossbenchers. My colleague Mr. Pine would be able to give you a blow-by-blow description, but we are hopeful that that will be able to proceed before the end of the year.
So you do think you might see something on that front in the final sitting days of this year?
I always live in hope, and I am hopeful that we might be able to achieve that. And given that we've only got five sitting days left, I think that will be about the rest of the government's agenda, along, hopefully, with the Registered Organisations Commission legislation.
Well, with the GP co-payment, just back to that for a moment, if you couldn't get it through the Senate, might you do it through regulation? We've seen you do that with financial laws.
I'm not going to speculate as to different methodologies that might be employed. That will be up to each individual minister to determine the best way forward. But our policy on GP co-payments remains.
And your policy on paid parental leave? The scheme is supposed to be up and running by July next year. There's no chance of that happening now, is there?
Once again, I'm not going to speculate. Our paid parental leave scheme is, as announced, we believe it's very important for our population, for participation, and for the productivity of the nation. Now, those three elements, I believe, are very important. The government believes they're very important. We believe that the paid parental leave scheme will assist in addressing the gender imbalance in the workforce and also the pay imbalance in relation to the genders.
One thing that does cross into your area was the budget plan to have people under 30 waiting up to 6 months before getting unemployment benefits. Is that likely to proceed?
That is not on the agenda as we speak for this last 5 days of the sitting of the Parliament, but our policies, as they've been announced, they remain.
I guess the thing about this is all of these were a big part of the budget agenda that you set out in May, and yet all of them are either in abeyance or looking like they're not going to go anywhere.
And Chris, this is the regrettable situation. Everybody knows that the budget situation is deteriorating, and we have a huge debt and deficit that we need to deal with. Savings need to be made, and savings that the Labor Party themselves went to the 2013 election on, they are now voting against in the Parliament. They really are playing a spoiling game, and I think we saw that at the National Press Club yesterday, where Mr. Shorten engaged in a typical dine and whine rather than putting up solutions. All he did was whine about the situation, how everything was wrong, but offered not a single solution.
Why is the government always surprised about that, though, with the opposition, given that that's precisely the game plan that you had when you were in opposition?
Oh, Chris, can I respectfully disagree with you? The coalition has been very cooperative. Under the Hawke-Keating era, we supported some unpopular moves like floating the dollar, dealing with workplace relations reform, and when tough decisions had to be made, we actually supported them. When we lost office, we accepted that the people had spoken on work choices and in relation to climate change. When Labor and the Greens lost office, they could not bring themselves to acknowledge that they had been defeated on the carbon tax, and so for 9 months solid, they blocked the repeal of the carbon tax. For 9 months solid, they blocked the repeal of the mining tax. Absolute debacles. They stood in our way of trying to stop the boats. They have not learnt the lesson of the reason why they were defeated.
On a broader point, do you think that it really angers people when governments or politicians say one thing before an election and then do another after an election? Now, I'm thinking of the promise on ABC and SBS. Leaving aside that, it could be on anything. If you make a statement like that, a very clear statement before the election, isn't it the expectation of people that you'll live up to it after the election?
The people of Australia expect a government to act responsibly. And when you've got the financial situation that we have, they expect us to take the tough decisions and unpopular decisions.
And that includes breaking promises?
In a democracy, no government deliberately sets out to make unpopular decisions. Indeed, I say to the Australian people, it is governments that actually believe in issues that are willing to take unpopular decisions are more likely to be trusted with the welfare of the nation than a government that sees the greatest moral challenge of our time is climate change and then dumps an emissions trading scheme and then knee-jerk has a carbon tax. It's that sort of indecision that the Australian people quite rightly don't like.
Erica Betts, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Erica Betts is the Minister for Employment and the leader of the government in the Senate.